What is the true source of freedom from fear if it is achievable? It is not, of course, a belief that evil and conflict can be ended. For Scripture, there is only one way in which fear can be overcome. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, episode 128, Judges and Freedom from Fear. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10 Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
In January 1941, FDR delivered a State of the Union that was also possibly the most famous speech of his career. He said, "In the future days, which we seek to make secure, we look forward to a world founded upon four essential human freedoms. The first is freedom of speech and expression everywhere in the world. The second is freedom of every person to worship God in his own way, everywhere in the world. The third is freedom from want, which translated into world terms means economic understandings, which will secure to every nation a healthy peacetime life for its inhabitants, everywhere in the world. The fourth is freedom from fear, which translated into world terms means a worldwide reduction of armaments to such a point and in such a thorough fashion that no nation will be in a position to commit an act of physical aggression against any neighbor anywhere in the world." And then, Franklin Roosevelt added, "That is no vision of a distant millennium. It is a definite basis for a kind of world attainable in our own time and generation." So Roosevelt said. Of course, as Jews, as we listen, we ponder the irony, the terrible irony, that, as the historian Rafi Medoff has documented, the Roosevelt administration was at this very moment not only not focused on saving the Jews of Europe, but it also discouraged and prevented Jewish immigration from Germany, even when the quotas for immigration were not filled. Or to put it slightly differently, at the moment when FDR was speaking of ending freedom from fear, the people whom he was not seeking to save were those who had the most to fear. And it behooves us to ask what may have been missing from the language of FDR's very famous address. Or to put it differently, what is the true source of freedom from fear if it is achievable? It is not, of course, a belief that evil and conflict can be ended, though FDR, astonishingly in this speech, seemed to believe that this could be achieved in the near future. But this, of course, was fantasy. After Nazism was defeated, it was the evil empire of the Soviets that the free world had to face. For Scripture, there is only one way in which fear can be overcome. Gam ki elech begeitz al mavet, lo irara ki ata imadi. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And of course, Scripture simultaneously stresses that it is the awareness of the presence of God and therefore the fear of God, or rather, to translate it more accurately, the awe of God's presence that is at the heart of righteous life. Thus Proverbs, Reshit Chochma Yirat Hashem, the beginning of wisdom is the fear or awe of the Lord. When in Exodus we are introduced to the midwives of the Hebrews that refused to obey the order of a Pharaoh who instructed them to murder newborn children, when they defied a king that had been divinized, the Torah tells us why this was so, what gave them the incredible courage. Vatirena hamiyaldot et ha'elokim. The midwives feared, were in awe of, God. V'lo asu kasher diber alem melech Mitzrayim. And thus they did not do what the king of Egypt had commanded them. Vatechayena et ha'iladim. And the newborn baby boys were allowed to live, were given life by them. In the fear of God, they overcame fear of Pharaoh and lived in courageous, awe-inspiring moral freedom. We consider this as we discuss our mitzvah for the day, which is a stirring statement in Scripture. The phrase in Hebrew is Lo taguru mipnei ish, literally translated, you shall fear no man. As the medieval compilation of the commandments, Sefer HaChinuch explains, the context here, the meaning of the mitzvah, relates to judges, or as he puts it, Shelo yira hadayan bedin, that the dayan, judge, should have no fear in passing judgment. Meaning, he continues, Shenimna hadayan miliro meish miladun din amet, that the judge should prevent oneself from fearing any individual, preventing the judge from judging the true judgment. Vafilu hu ish mazik az panim av hamoach, even if The litigant the judge faces is a man of a violent nature who is filled with audacity, or more literally, as the translation in Sephardic gives us, if the litigant is brazen-faced and foolish. Ela yachtoch et hadin. Rather, the judge shall deliver the judgment. And Sefer HaChinuch adds, V'al zeh ne'amar lo tagru mipnei ish. And regarding this, scripture states, Deuteronomy 1:17, you shall fear no man. The point, of course, is that the judge must fear God. Indeed, the appellation applied in the Torah to a court, Elohim, which is also a name for the Almighty, is meant to remind the judges that they are obligated to bestow the justice that the Almighty has instructed ought to be sought. Or to put it more succinctly, in the words of Proverbs, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. In his memoir, Fear No Evil, Natan Sharansky describes how a study of the psalm book that had been given him by his wife allowed him to understand, in prison, what it truly means to fear God. He wrote, quote, King David now appeared before me not as a fabled hero or a mystical superman, but as a live, indomitable soul tormented by doubts, rising against evil, and suffering from the thought of his own sins. He was proud, daring, and resolute, but in order to be bold in combat with his enemies, he had to be humbled before the Lord. And then Sharansky writes, the fear of God guided David when he entered the valley of death. Sharansky further adds, when I first came across the concept of Yirat Shamayim, the fear of God, I automatically understood it as referring to the fear of God's punishment for our sins. But as I read the Psalms, it became harder to maintain this narrow utilitarian understanding of these words. Why had I refused to enter into any discussions with the KGB after my trial? Why was I prepared to die unless they sent my letters? Why did I refuse to ask for release for reasons of health? Why was it so important for me not to take one step back toward that servile life I had once led? In time, I began to understand that Yirat Shamayim includes both an admiration of the grand divine design and worship of the divine might, as well as man's instinctive fear of being unworthy of his lofty role. Perhaps this feeling is a necessary prerequisite for man's achieving inner freedom and is also the prerequisite for spiritual resolve. Perhaps, Sharansky concludes, the fear of the Lord is the only thing that can conquer human fear. End quote. Yirat Shamayim, fear of heaven, awe of the Almighty. This is the source of freedom from fear. This is the real way that what is known as the fourth freedom can be attained. This is Meir Soloveitchik, wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Looking forward to learning together next week. Signing off.